Time to speak to a gentleman we haven't spoken to for a while, because we haven't talked about HS2 for a while. Bruce Williamson is here. He is, of course, from the campaign group Rail Futures. Bruce, very good morning to you. Welcome back.
Morning, Mike. Yes, it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has, hasn't it? It feels like we've been in some kind of lockdown. I don't know about you, but, you know, it feels like we may be coming out of it. But HS2 continues to rumble on. The rows continue to rumble on, but it is going ahead. But a bit of news today that might be a heartening for those who don't think it's worth the money. We might be saving a bit on it.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So, reported in the Times today, there's this idea to sort of curtail HS2. As you may know, they're designed a sort of Y-shaped network. So it goes to Birmingham, then from Birmingham there's an eastern leg and a western leg.
Right.
And the idea is to sort of scrap the eastern leg, continue up to Manchester, and then basically do a right turn and serve sort of Leeds and York and Sheffield that way, crossing the Pennines.
Yes, because the right side of the Y was meant to go from Birmingham to Leeds directly, wasn't it? Would this add journey time then?
Well, yeah, that's the only concern about this. So the idea is that if you... I mean, firstly, we ought to say that crossing the Pennines in high speed is something that, you know, is undoubtedly a good idea.
Yeah.
And you may have heard of this phrase, Northern Powerhouse Rail.
I've heard.
To link up all those northern cities with an east-west route. That's great. We definitely want that, and everyone agrees that's a good idea. But, the idea of integrating it with HS2 is also a good idea, and the proposal includes a massive underground station at Manchester underneath the existing station at Manchester Piccadilly to accommodate these trains. And Manchester is a real bottleneck, so that would help to solve that problem. But yeah, you're right. The only sort of downside of this scheme is that, you know, that sort of eastern arm, the East Midlands, Leicester, Nottingham, Sheffield, Doncaster, etc.
Yes.
They run the risk of losing out here because they can either go down existing lines at sort of the existing speeds, maybe some improvements there, or they can go the long way round via Manchester. So even though that would be faster, because it's the long way round, it probably wouldn't be any quicker.
No, it also means people like living in places like Derby and Nottingham wouldn't be able to avail themselves of a high-speed train.
Well, indeed, yeah. I mean, like I say, there will be some sort of service. So, yeah, possibly via existing rail lines and upgrades there. But, yeah, it won't be that massive step change for people in the East Midlands.
I mean, forgive me for being old-fashioned, but wouldn't it be sensible to find out which sort of ports of call are the most used and which people go to where from where? So, for example, if you discovered that from Nottingham, you know, 60% of people that travel from Nottingham travel to Leeds rather than London, then you might think about hooking them up to a fast train. But if it's the other way around, then you would do the opposite.
Well, indeed, but I mean, that sort of information is already available, really.
Yeah, but are they making use of it, though?
Well, no, that's true. Well,
that's the point.
You know, they're making a calculated decision, aren't they? They're saying, well, look, you know, we know that people in Nottingham and Derby want to get to London really quick, but, you know, the cost-benefit analysis maybe... Oh, God, that's my elephant. I'm just getting rid of it. Doesn't quite stack up, so, you know, we
that's
we
a Perrier for you, mate.
Or put it on... put it on, you know, the article says that this eastern leg could be deferred, you know, so it isn't scrapped.
Right.
But, you know, being politically realistic about it, it may be delayed or sort of swept under the carpet.
So will this make anything ready quicker, and how much money would it save if this was done?
I don't know. So, I mean, actually, let's suppose that the eastern leg, certainly the route to Birmingham, it's all systems go. There's no change there.
And when are we expecting to be able to travel on that?
So what's that?
When are we expecting to be able to travel on this new link to Birmingham?
I think it's at least 10 years away, isn't it?
I just find that laughable. I don't know why they're bothering. 10 years from now, can you imagine what we'll be travelling around in?
Well, I think we will. This is the thing. I think we will still be using trains. There is a lot of nonsense talked about, you know, how video conferencing is going to save the world and we won't be travelling anymore. Listen, Skype has been around for like 15 years. Video conferencing is not something that's happening in the
future. Yeah, but most people didn't have to use it, and so they didn't bother. Now, they've all used it, and they quite like it. They don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, but we'll have to see how it pans out. But I reckon when this coronavirus thing, is all over, I'm very confident that people will go back to the railways. You know, video conferencing is...
I'm not so sure, you know. I'm not just being argumentative for the sake of it, as I usually am with you.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I think because people have been forced into situations that they wouldn't otherwise have voluntarily done, you know what I mean? And yeah. I personally know people who live in the sort of outside environs of London, like Surrey, like Sussex, and they're all saying to me, I'm not that keen to get back on a train and commute every day.
Yeah, well, you know, time will tell, won't it? But I'm very optimistic that passenger numbers are going to bounce back for all sorts of reasons. And we'll talk about it in a year's time.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. So, I mean, as far as the actual building of the next phase, as it were, the top part of the Y, if you like.
Yeah.
When do they have to decide that, or have they already decided that?
No, I think the only thing that is absolutely firmly decided is the link to Birmingham. And this whole HS3 thing, the Trans-Pennine route as well, that's still, you know, an idea that we're talking about and haven't actually started putting shovels in the ground yet.
Mm.
But, you know, I definitely want that to go ahead. And obviously, I think the Birmingham to Manchester bit is an almost certainty, because clearly running HS2, just London to Birmingham in itself, is a bit pointless, you know.
Yes.
You need to sort of develop a network and, you know, make the thing work.
Well, this is why I'm quite surprised that in the midst of the pandemic, when the question was asked, are we still going ahead with HS2, the answer came back very firmly, yes. You know, because, I mean, there are quite a lot of considerations and quite a lot of goalposts that have moved since the original agreement.
And, you know, it actually was a bit of a surprise, because Boris Johnson, you know, has you know, up until now, been a huge critic of the scheme, and he wanted to scrap it. But I think, I think a dose of reality has entered the equation, because basically our existing network, even though it's suppressed at the moment, generally speaking, it's bursting at the seams. And, you know, there isn't, for the railway, looking at the big picture, looking long term, there isn't a do-nothing option. Because, you know, passenger numbers have climbed and climbed and climbed over the years, and you know, I believe they will continue to do so. So the government, for once, actually, it's very unusual for government, but it's good that the government is taking a long-term view here, because normally they only look to as far as the next election, and this is like a 20-year project.
Yes, indeed. Well, we shall see whether it ends up coming to fruition. Bruce, thanks very much indeed. Bruce Williamson there from Rail Future.